So unfortunately, here on the podcast the last 2 weeks, we haven't been able to start on a very positive note with the passings of Shad Gaspard and Hana Kimura. And as much as I'd love to come on here and just talk about wrestling for an hour, 2 hours, unless you've been living under a rock, what's going on in the United States of America kind of makes that impossible right now. And I'm super proud of this platform that we spent over 2 years building at this point. And I feel like if I didn't use this platform to speak on this, then it would be very irresponsible, in my opinion. And this is just my opinion.
I share it.
I know you do, so. But I don't want to, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
In 2020, I don't think it's just enough to be not a racist. You have to, especially in times like this, actively denounce racism. And if you aren't aware of what's going on, we are approaching 2 weeks straight of protesting. Not only now throughout the United States, but other countries throughout the world have now joined us in protest over the killing of George Floyd by the Minneapolis Police Department. And I just kind of want to give my thoughts on the whole thing. And it's tough because I know, like we said from the beginning, we never want to get into politics on this podcast, but this goes beyond a political issue. This is a human rights issue at this point. And by no means do I want to make this about myself, but if you just bear with me for a little bit, I'm going to tell like kind of a personal anecdote and it'll kind of revolve around to the full point. But by no means am I trying to make this about me, so please don't misconstrue that in any way. But we went to the same high school, graduated 1 year apart. I think calling our high school predominantly white would be an understatement. I could probably count the number of people of color in my graduating class personally on my two hands. That's why I'm super grateful I got the experience of going away to college, because going away to college in a place that's not where you're from can be a very, I don't want to say scary experience, but it's kind of like, it could be a very nervous experience. And
it definitely pulls you outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Not comfort zone, but so, what you're used to.
So when I first got to ESU, I hung out with the track team because Ronnie was on the track team. And I just hung out with the track team because I knew Ronnie. He introduced me to all of his friends. And that's just who I hung out with for the first couple months. But I always felt kind of uncomfortable because my fucking fat ass wasn't running track in college. So I never really felt like I fit in. Then one day, in my dorm room freshman year, the African-American kids across the hall came over and played Xbox. And then we played basketball together. And then we found out that we liked the same type of music. We were into the same type of sports. We were into the same type of video games. And I became friends with them. And then eventually they introduced me to their friends that went to other colleges. And like I just kept branching onto their friend group. And they welcomed me into their circle. And literally, the only difference between us, we like the same type of music, same type of fashion, same type of sports, same type of video games. The only difference between us was I was white and they were black. But when I get stopped by the police, my biggest fear is that maybe I'll get a ticket. If they get stopped by the police, they literally fear their lives. And like, that's something really fucked up to think about. Like, we are the same in so many ways, so similar, yet the only difference is their skin is a couple shades darker than mine, and they get treated entirely different by this group of people. And no matter what your experience with law enforcement is, you can't tell them that their fear isn't justified because you aren't in their shoes. Like, that's not for you to say. So basically, what I'm trying to say is, if you're a white person, just kind of please do these things for me. Because this goes beyond George Floyd. This goes beyond Eric Garner. This goes beyond Trayvon Martin. This goes beyond Emmett Till. This has been going on for literally 400 years. 400 years of just this unfortunate systematic racism. So I guess my first thing is, please stop moving the goalposts.
That's the biggest one to me.
It was never about the flag. It was never about the military. It was never about the looting. Protests are not supposed to be comfortable. If you are feeling uncomfortable by these protests and you're like a white man in America, that's kind of the point. You know, like, and I think a certain generation of white people have been too comfortable for too long with what has been going on. And also in terms of moving the goalposts, when they say things like white privilege and Black Lives Matter, stop trying to fucking argue with them. When they say you have white privilege, they aren't saying that you've never gone through a struggle. We've all gone through struggles. I've gone through struggles. You've gone through struggles. I'm pretty sure every person's gone through struggles. But white privilege means we are not at a systematic disadvantage, which is, it's a fact. Like, you can't dispute that. And to everyone screaming, all lives matter, all lives can't matter until Black Lives Matter, because if Black Lives don't matter, then all lives don't matter. Like, it's fucking simple.
Too many people on the outside, I'm talking about anti-Black Lives Matter protesters, they try to change Black Lives Matter's message to fit their own.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work. And just as a disclaimer, I got the blessing to meet the people you speak of earlier, and I'm glad I did, because the times I have spent with them, which hasn't been much, you know that, I have really enjoyed. And it's just, it's a shame that we are the same, and we are subjected to different treatments. It's just a goddamn tragedy, especially by the people that are sworn to protect us.
And I gotta just say right now how proud I am of how they've handled this on social media. Like, Mel, Leek, Mir, Rod, Juice, Vonnie. Like, I'm proud of all that, but I'm even prouder to call you guys friends and brothers. And my second point kind of goes along the line that you were saying. I think that every white person should find an African American that you know and just listen to their story. Because we will never know what it's like to be in their shoes. But if we listen to some of the stories they have to tell, we could empathize with them.
We have to understand that we'll never understand.
Yeah, and if you don't know any African Americans, if you're from a predominantly white community and, like, you didn't get the chance to become friends with any, there are so many threads on Twitter that I saw that will do a great job of... I was reading this thread of, like, this African American was asking other African Americans to describe the first time when, like, they found out racism was a thing. And I think it was actually Big E that said he was called the N-word in kindergarten. And that, like, blew my mind. Like, the fact that you are such a hateful person that not only do you teach your kindergarten-age child that word, but who that word is directed at is, like...
The worst part about it is nobody's born like it.
Yeah, it's a taught... Yeah, nobody's born
racist. It's an unfortunately taught condition that we somehow can never shake in this country. And I don't understand why, and I don't think we'll ever understand why, but we really need to start getting better at trying.
And I really want to be a part of the generation that changes this, because I love my parents, but I just don't think they get how big of a deal it is, and I wish they would. Like, I'm not, by no means am I saying my parents are racist. That's not true at all. But, like, I don't think they understand the magnitude of this issue. Because, like, they haven't had the experiences that we've had.
Our parents existed in very different worlds. Yeah. I'm not saying it was. I don't know where your parents went to school. Both of my parents went to the same high school that we went to.
My dad was, like, pre-Pittston area, all was one. And my mom went to Hazleton. So she's...
I know your mom.
She's a little more well-versed. Yeah.
But as we talked about, as people of color in our school, how little there were, it was even less when our parents were in school.
I have probably had more interactions with African Americans in the past year than my father has in his whole life.
Yeah, it's just a situation that continues to happen and will continue to happen until we find the root of it, until we work better at stopping it. One thing that maybe gave me a shimmer of hope in all of this is that this went worldwide. This is no longer, it was always a global problem, but starting treating it like one, I think could push us in the right direction. And that's just me being hopeful. But as is just, to wrap up my part of this, I once had a gun pulled on me by a police officer.
As did I.
And we did nothing wrong in doing it. And since that day, and I was 18 years old, and it was right around, I think it was right around Mike Brown. I don't remember timeline.
That was like 2014.
So maybe. It was, you know, I was a senior in high school. It was a spring. It was about around this time when I was a senior in high school. And that day, me and my friends just talked about when something like this happens. One of them is now a lawyer, and we are just talking about how different that would have went.
Yeah, the sad truth is, if your skin was a different color, it could have went downhill terrible. Fast, and that's unfortunate for so many reasons. And like, the goalpost thing is what bugs me the most. I hate when people try to make it about something it's not. Like,
I hate when people change any message to fit their own, especially. But this is takes the top of the cake for how often and how consequential this happens. It's just, I don't know how to fix it, but I can try to help.
Yeah. There are plenty of things that we can do. We can join the protests. There are petitions we could sign. If you have the extra finances, there are plenty of great funds you could donate, whether it's the bail of the protesters or Black Lives Matter itself. I think all of us as an entire generation has to be the ones to step up, because my friends are in the front lines in Philly, and I'm scared for them. And I don't know, man, something just has to change. And I feel like if we didn't use, well, I don't want to speak for you, but if I didn't use this platform to just speak out against it, I feel like, I don't know.
I fully planned on doing this.
Especially since, like, I listen to black music. All my favorite athletes are black. I'm wearing a pair of Jordans right now. It's like, if you fall into all those categories, yet you just choose to ignore these issues.
You can't quote unquote adopt African-American culture and not face this head on.
Yeah. Is my opinion. No, I'm with you 1,000%. You can't.
Because African-American culture is American culture.
Yeah.
It's just.
And most importantly, African-Americans are American. There's an American after the African. And at times, especially by law enforcement, they are not treated as Americans. And this shit has to change. And if I pissed anybody off and we lose listeners or Twitter followers because of this, I really don't give a shit. Because if you have this mindset, I don't want you listening to our show. I don't want to interact with you on Twitter. I don't care about fucking numbers. I don't care about fucking downloads. This is a fucking human rights issue, and this needed to be said. And I wish, I hope that more white people with any type of platform will step up and support the African-American community.
And if you do want to help and feel like you're in a position that you can and want, or can, there's, like Tony said, there's plenty of petitions. I signed a couple petitions. Not that I'm
like, I don't want to
make this about me.
No, I'm with you, and yeah. I don't want to call anyone out, but there were 19 million of those Blackout Tuesday posts, but George Floyd's like petition had 12 million signatures. So where were you other 6-7 million people that posted a black square on Instagram? You couldn't go sign the petition. Like, it takes 2 seconds to sign a petition. And I don't want to say that the Blackout Tuesday didn't make a difference, but like, signing this petition could actually legitimately help make a difference. And just because you won't get clout for it, you're not going to do it. I don't know. This is something, like I said, some of my best friends in the world are black, and this is something I don't know.
It's just a rough world. It's been a hell of a year, to tell you that much, but I just hope we can move forward, and I hope this gets the attention it deserves, and we can change the world one day.
Yeah, and I know we're already 15 minutes in, and we haven't gotten to, like, any of what you're probably here to listen to, but this is important. I'm sorry. This is so important. And with that being said, Black Lives Matter. Let's start the show.
What the fuck is in this match?
If it's a war, you can say whatever you want.
I thought it was a cult. I didn't know what was going on.
The Fed did. I think New York did.
One of your executive vice presidents loves that company.
It's the first ever finishing move that's exclusive to a promotion.
Advantage.
So, welcome to another week of Champions Advantage. On the news side, little lighter show this week.
Which is good. Sometimes you get bombarded with news. It's nice to have a week off.
But the one news item we are going to talk about,
it's
caused quite the stir.
And we're going to discuss a news item involving a storyline in a major wrestling company.
Oh, I like how you always try to like make it a mystery.
Because you gotta bring them in.
It's the first thing we're gonna talk about after the intro. Like you don't have to, if they don't stick around past that, well, shit, if people are gonna leave, they probably would have left already.
Yeah.
But
we're here to do a show about a news item, and it's about the Jeff Hardy storyline.
There you go. Good job.
And after the news, we got, of course, the War Report. Controversial Mean 16 results from the
second time. Second time this happened this year. How did this not happen at all last year?
I don't know.
Like that's kind of mind blowing. That
I mean, we're also getting more votes now.
I feel like we had a decent amount last year. The fact that we still don't have one single tie last year was
And we've had what two and three weeks.
I don't know.
And we'll have to decide that, and it involves one of our one seeds. So,
I mean, if we see the guy number one,
yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay,
I think we'll both sway the same way on that. And then we have a takeover on Sunday, kind of takeover in your house. Well,
that's one you're real excited about.
I am.
You love it.
Phenomenal
in your house.
Card.
No, you just love In Your House.
I do love In Your House.
Will they bring back the full set? I don't think they can fit it in full
set. If they do, it'll be phenomenal.
Because, I mean, they're back at Full Sail, but I don't think they can fit it in full set.
Are they going to give away a house?
In these economic conditions, something tells me they aren't.
Yes, but... So that's our show today, and stick around.
Thanks for watching.
No, stick around.
It sounded like it was the outro. Like, yeah. Oh, that's our show. See you, folks.
Stick around today, and we will have some fun.
Yeah, let's do it. So the one news item we have on the agenda for the day is, so at the beginning of last week's SmackDown, they cut to the show opened in the parking lot, and there was a Toyota Corolla smashed into a stop sign and Elias on the ground. And then there's cops. And these cops, their method of investigation is apparently finding a bottle of Jack and sniffing it. I guess I want to make sure it was Shoot Jack and not Working Jack. I don't know.
I think it was actually Evan Williams, but...
Whatever. Well, probably. It's a pandemic. You can't buy the good stuff. But they open the little... what do they call those things? Like the little visor gimmicks?
Yeah, the drop-down.
There's a word for it. It's like a sun fucking...
Yeah, the drop-down.
Yeah. And then the, like, registration papers to the rental car fall out. And
the one funny part about this, he goes, I never know who Jeff Hardy is.
Yeah, it's like, this is something TNA would do in, like, 2007. Like, WWE treat your guys like superstars. Like, the cops should have been like, oh, Jeff Hardy, oh, shit, Jeff Hardy, this is Jeff Hardy's car. But they're like, hey, does anyone know who this Jeff Nero Hardy is? Anyone ever hear of him? And then Renee's like, oh, yeah, he works here. Way to put over your stars. But anyway, it turns out that the rental car belongs to Jeff Hardy, who was conveniently laying in a bush a few feet behind a trailer.
He got away a little bit. It was a while.
It was like 25 feet back.
Okay.
Your definition of getting away is very generous. And so these cops have clearly never arrested anyone before, because They don't tell the man what he's being detained for or if he's under arrest. They say, we're going to have to ask you some questions. And they cuff him and throw him in a car.
I mean, he's being detained, I guess. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that wouldn't stick up in a court.
No, but I'm also not arguing the semantics of the police methods on this show.
That's fair enough. Especially
the time we're in now.
I mean, we just went on a 15-minute dialogue.
But that's just, of all the things in this segment that are to talk about, the police's lack of freedom of Miranda rights does not.
I know that some people were angry about this segment happening after the incident in Minneapolis, but this, in their defense, this was filmed before that happened.
And I get it.
I get it. Yeah, it's touchy.
It's touchy. It's real touchy, but I just think that of all the problems with this, if you consider them problems, that's not a police officer's being in it isn't the marquee moment of it, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so we're not here to talk about the storyline itself. We're here to kind of talk about, I guess, the morals of it. I guess that's the right word. But basically, there were some people on the internet that were very upset about this, that they would use a DUI in an angle. And there were kind of two crowds of upset people. One crowd of people were upset because Jeff has had legitimate problems with alcohol and other substances, and they weren't really a fan of them, like, bringing that to light. And then there was the other group that were upset because they used the DUI and they, like, maybe lost people to DUI. And so where do you stand?
And then there was a third group that was just upset that SmackDown was on.
Well, that's true. There was that third group. But where do you stand with this whole thing?
I don't know where I stand on it.
I feel like you've been saying that a lot lately. Fed has been stumping you.
I get people's outrage about it, and I will wrap this up in one sentence after this paragraph, so to speak. I get people's questioning of it. I understand that. I don't personally share those things. I thought it was production-wise, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'll say. It was shot very well, except Braun Strowman might be the worst actor on the planet, on the face of planet Earth.
Yeah.
He's like, I saw it. The car just took out Elias. I hit that stop sign.
But
it was the most unbelievable acting.
It's not up to me to decide, but going back to that third group I spoke to, if you criminalize everything that fucking company does, nothing seems bad anymore.
And not only that, you just
had some problems. He does. It's known. But if this was his idea, can I be angry about it?
It depends why you're upset about it. If you lost someone very close to you in a DUI and they're using that in a fake wrestling angle, I can't tell you that you can't be upset about it.
Yes,
that.
I can't tell you, but you also can't be upset that they did it. There's several cop shows that deal with this shit all the time. You know what I'm saying?
That's the thing. Like, wrestling is always this strange case where, like,
it's a TV show that everybody knows is fake, but they treat it like it's real.
Yeah. That's the line you have to walk, I guess.
I mean, it's always been that. It's always had that role.
But my thing is, like, there are people who will yearn for the days of the Attitude Era and edgier storylines, and then...
And the same people, when they do it, go off.
Yeah.
You can't please anybody, so they're going to stop trying to. Like I said, people criminalize every single thing that company does. Like, we'll get into something later that is a similar thing to this.
Is it, if we're thinking about the same thing?
Similar feelings. I mean, similar...
I don't know about that.
I mean, it's definitely controversial, but we'll get there when we get there.
I think I'm more upset about that one than this one.
I think you have more right to be upset about that one than this one. This is a storyline. It's an angle. Do I really think Jeff Hardy was wasted and hit Elias with a fucking car? No.
Well, at the end of the show, it was revealed he wasn't. Yeah. He was proven innocent.
Yeah. So...
So Sheamus could go to jail for like 20 years now?
I mean, that's
another thing. Like, there can't be a true payoff because I don't think Sheamus is going to go to the clink for 20 years. Attempted vehicular homicide, that's a pretty serious charge.
I don't know. It's definitely shocking.
I'm pretty sure framing someone else, that has to be illegal too, right?
It's definitely different.
It has to be illegal to frame someone.
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer or a cop.
There's no way it's not illegal to frame, like... if I try to frame you for a crime and you didn't do it, I mean, you could probably sue me in like civil court.
Yeah, but I'm not sure.
That has to be a legit crime.
I don't know. I don't know either. I don't know.
But I'm just like, in common sense. But I mean, they're also in Florida. So
yeah, there's no laws in Florida.
Yeah, you also got to
keep. Florida's a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
They have alligators walking around.
Yes, exactly. Finally, someone is getting it. Fucking death machines, those things.
Gators are cool as shit.
They are not.
They're cool.
What about them is cool?
They're living dinosaurs. It's awesome.
That is not the cool part about it.
What do you mean?
They have not evolved in 3 million fucking years.
They don't got it because no one fucks with them.
Because they are built to kill.
Yeah, no one fucks with them. You're going to fuck with a gator?
Like, imagine just walking out. And I love golf. I play golf all the time. I will never play golf in Florida. Because if I get in, I don't understand why people live within 100 miles of these fucking things.
Would you play golf in Arizona?
Yes.
There's fucking scorpions
out
there.
Who gives a shit?
Scorpions are way worse than gators.
They're this fucking big. Gators are 28 feet fucking long.
Dude, scorpions have pinchers and a stinger. Nothing should have both.
Alligators have jaws that crush at 2,000 PSI.
Well, don't get near its mouth.
That's not my decision.
Scorpion, you can't get...
If those things want to chase me down and get me, that's their prerogative.
Scorpion, you can't get near the front end nor the back end.
I mean, the pinchers aren't going to hurt you.
That's... Dude, you kidding me?
I saw Johnny Knoxville do it.
Johnny Knoxville also ate horse shit for $200. Was that Steve-O?
That was Steve-O. In front of the 3-6 Mafia. Yeah, but, anyway, I don't know where we were. Oh, Florida. But Jeff...
Having a Hardy party.
Jeff Hardy. And if you have the right to be upset with it, but you also have the right not to be upset with it. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's one of those clear-cut things.
So, kind of where we were talking about this through text message. We were kind of having a debate Friday night as this was going on. And my stance kind of was... I personally wasn't offended, but I thought it was an awful idea because I knew what it would lead to. You know what I mean?
This goes back to me saying if you criminalize everything the company does, nothing seems bad anymore.
But it also just kind of signifies where the wrestling fan is in 2020. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. Like, the wrestling community in 2020 has driven a lot of like bad people away, and they've like done a lot of good, but they've also like wrestling has to be more politically correct than ever. And like at its core, wrestling is carny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and at its core, it's stereotypical.
Yeah.
I mean, we moved away from that, for the most part, I believe.
I mean, I wouldn't say they moved away from it. They definitely toned it down. Like,
yeah,
they have some gimmicks that are still stereotypical, but not so overtly stereotypical that it's, you know.
I mean, there's always going to be foreign heels.
Yeah.
You know, it's a stigma that worked. Not a stigma. That's a bad word. But it's just something that worked for all this time. Like, look at Rusev. What's Rusev going to do if he goes somewhere else?
I don't know, dude. He was the most over babyface they had, and they didn't do anything.
Yeah, I know.
It,
we were both in the building in 2018 for Royal Rumble. He's the most over person in the building. But his money's in being a foreign heel, right?
Yeah, and you can make I wouldn't agree with this statement, but if you tried to make the argument that Street Profits are a tad stereotypical, if you made that argument, I could see where you were coming from. I don't agree with it, but I could see where you're coming from if you made that argument.
Like, for fuck's sake, there's Vikings.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what Viking culture is like these days, but I don't think it's what they're doing.
It probably is exactly what they're doing, actually. Like, I've seen Sarah Logan on Instagram. It's pretty much exactly what they're doing.
I miss Sarah Logan. I want her to wrestle soon.
Yeah, July 18th.
She'll be back with the company, I think.
I don't know. Who knows?
Where's she going to go?
She'd be better off anywhere other than WWE.
Yeah, because that woman's a vicious crowd. I always liked her. But
she's a hell of a worker, too.
That's not the point of it. I just think we have to get to the end before we can talk some shit.
I think it's pretty much over. Well, it's not over.
I'm assuming it'll flow into tonight.
Yeah, we're recording this before SmackDown airs. This will be out before SmackDown, but you might be listening to it after SmackDown. Because that's how podcasts work. You can listen anytime,
yeah,
any place.
Best platform in the world.
Any channel.
But I believe that we have to let it play out. I don't think it's as bad. I mean, you can have an opinion on it, but it's not. I don't think it's as clear cut as right and wrong as people like to make it to be.
I will say it did seem like Matt and Rebby were pretty pissed off about it.
I don't take her seriously. I'm sorry. She's done enough. But Matt absolutely can have an opinion on it. I just think he was more upset that a million more people.
Stop. Don't stop.
Not saw today. His brother not, hit him with a car.
Not today. Not today.
Saw his, then he did.
Well, Jeff didn't do it, so.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just think, let it play out. And I'm not going to upset. I'm not going to get my panties in a bunch for them trying.
My question is, did the cops take his fucking shirt? Because when he came back to SmackDown, he was shirtless.
I don't know. But I just think that I'm not going to get on them for trying something people have been clamoring for.
My favorite part is chasing Jordan with Elias's guitar. That's my favorite part.
Nice to see Jason Jordan.
Yeah, he's...
But that had Bruce Pritchard written all over it.
Oh, yeah, that was the Bruce special. No doubt. He loves the pre-tapes.
The pre-tapes, and he's great at them.
He's probably loving this era because everything's pre-taped.
Oh, yeah, he's out of the matches. He's booking. But, and I have to say, SmackDown was very good last week.
Yeah, I wasn't offended by the Hardy thing, but I can't say I was a fan either. But other than that, SmackDown was a good show.
Yeah.
Battle Royals usually suck, but they had a very entertaining Battle Royal. They're stop and start with Chad Gable again. They seem like they stop and start more with him than a $2 hooker. But he beat Cesaro. I mean, I don't know what beating Cesaro in 2020 is worth, unfortunately. But
that's my point on the Jeff Hardy thing. Let it play out. And I, like I said, don't criminalize them for trying things. Like if they did something like vehemently bad, I can do it. But I think there's definitely two sides to this. I think you can be upset about it, but I also think you cannot be upset about it, and they're equally okay.
And someone on Twitter also pointed out that like we should have seen this coming because like literally they did 5 weeks of vignettes on him, and 2 of the 5 weeks are all about drugs.
Yeah.
So it's clear that they're not afraid to touch that subject when it comes to Jeff. Yeah, I don't know. I think everyone's problem was either that it hit too close to home or that a still recovering addict was used. And now, like, so, like, the cops said he smelled like alcohol, so I presume, like, Sheamus beat him up and poured the alcohol on him.
Yes.
I doubt they really fucking poured alcohol in the recovering addict. You know what I mean?
They didn't do that.
Yeah. So, like, I don't think...
But there was a story out there that it was Jeff's idea to put the final nail in his recovery. And one thing I gotta say about this company is they take care of their superstars with substance problems.
But I don't... Also, like, I respect Jeff for wanting to do that, but I also don't think that's the healthiest way to do it. And there has to be a time where someone says, no, Jeff, like, let's not do that. But, you know, I respect the guy. I respect him for wanting... I respect him for being willing to put it all out there because he has a very dark past and he could easily hide from it behind all of his vast accomplishments in the wrestling industry. But he never hides from it. He's always open as hell about it. And
like a good recovering addict. Not like a good recovering addict.
I was going to say, like, Jesus,
man. You know what I mean? That's what you have to do. You have to face it.
Yeah.
I have recovering addicts in my family. Then they have to face it, and they apologize for always facing it in front of people. I'm like, no, but that's what you have to do. You just, because running away from it does not help the situation.
So I feel like we went a whole lot of nowhere with this segment.
Yeah, but I just think you can be okay with it. You can also not be okay with it. I don't think it's one of those clear-cut right or wrong things, which is what wrestling's supposed to be about, right?
Yeah, like, I honestly want to give them credit for stepping out of the box and trying something, because WWE's been so formulaic the past couple years that, like, I almost... respect them. Like, same thing with like the Viking Raiders and Street Profits segments. I think the reason why I don't hate them as much as I could is because like it's so like outside of the box of what they would normally do that like I almost respect them for trying.
Oh, I unapologetically love those segments.
I can't say unapologetically because there are some times when I'm watching this and I'm like, man, I should hate this, but I fucking don't.
So that's my opinion. I hate that kind of shit. And it's just, I think the talent of performers is good too.
Yeah, and I don't think the Raiders showing charisma is a bad thing.
No, if like, anything, it's a good thing for them.
Like, I think everyone wants them to be monster Vikings, but like they could still be monster Vikings anytime. But now they have layers where they're also...
Ivar is fucking hysterical.
Ivar is hysterical. I like how they keep calling him cute every week. And everyone calls...
Was it the same lady?
I don't think so. I think the gimmick is that Ivar's the ladies' man and everyone calls Eric ugly. Poor Eric.
That's so funny. He goes, I like you because you're cute.
Yeah.
You're not.
Poor Eric.
What's your favorite one of them so far?
Oh, man.
Mini golf? I thought mini golf was awesome.
I liked basketball, but I think bowling was probably my favorite, just because like everything with the goat's milk, and then the street profits somehow being good at cosmic bowling but not regular bowling, and like Ivar pulling out multiple turkey legs.
How many times have you been cosmic bowling in your life? It's not easy.
I've been cosmic bowling quite a few times.
Oh, that's the one thing to do around here you were 20, before you can legally drink.
That's the dating.
It's illegally drink and go fucking bowling.
That's the dating staple. Like when you go on a date around here, you're going cosmic bowling.
You're going on Idle Hour Lanes or Chacos.
You're going cosmic bowling if you're going on a date around here.
People listening probably don't understand. Bowling alleys have some good ass food around here.
That's true. I mean, we have some good ass food around here in general.
Yeah. High quality pizza.
Like we're blessed to have all this good, like everyone who leaves here talks about how shitty the pizza is everywhere else.
Yeah. My cousin's like, I want to fund just a pizza restaurant because we'll kill.
Like I was talking to one of my buddies who lived in Philly, and he's like, the worst part about Philly is the Italian food isn't near the quality of like Pittston. It's just baffling to think about. You'd think like,
I mean, we have some proper guineas here.
We got some fresh off the boat.
Yeah, we got some. They came over the Mafia Mayflower and then landed here. But this segment went everywhere. But
yeah, this is 18 minutes of nonsense.
I just like, okay, Jeff Hardy is fine to me, but I understand why people are upset. Up next is the War Report. And I'm excited to talk about it because I thoroughly enjoyed both shows.
Yeah, I enjoyed both shows too, but we'll have to see who wins for the week. God damn it. You son of a bitch. So the War Report for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020. As always, we will start with All Elite Wrestling. The show kicked off with an AEW Tag Team Championship match between Hangman Page and Kenny Omega defending against Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc.
What a fucking opener.
Stop it. So they cut to the crowd, and Dax and Cash were high up in the stands.
Can they just go by Dax and Cash, please?
You don't like Harwood and Wheeler?
No, I don't.
Let's just shoot last names.
Are they really?
Yeah.
It's David Hardwood and
Daniel Wheeler.
Daniel Wheeler. Yeah, you're right. But that's just, India, and I can't believe they had to watch this fucking match. The most pure tag team person and people in the world, and they have to watch Jimmy fucking Havoc.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Mr. Havoc either. I like Kip Sabian though a lot.
He doesn't do anything for me. Potential. I think him and Penelope are a good package, but doesn't do much for me. So he's not even the most do nothing for me on this entire roster. So
this match probably went longer than it should have, but eventually...
An AEW match went longer than it should have? Holy shit, Tony. You're breaking it to me.
Stop it.
I'm not. Is that not the thing about it? You have the same opinion.
Yeah, but I don't fucking just overtly come out and shit on everything they do.
I don't either. Stuff on the show I liked. I didn't hate this. I just don't like the people involved.
It's the most backhanded compliment I've ever heard.
It's not a compliment. So it's just backhanded.
It's the most front-handed insult I've ever heard.
Possibly.
But the champions hit the combination V-trigger buckshot lariat, which they're now calling the last call, which was the name of James Storm's super kick. And they retain as FTR and Best Friends look on, and Best Friends are next in line for a tag team championship shot. The only Fyter Fest. Too big for one night.
Hilarious.
I don't think it's hilarious. It's a good way to pop a rating for 2 weeks.
No, it is. Now, are they doing a pay-per-view, or...?
No, they're two episodes of Dynamite.
Two episodes July of Dynamite, 1st and Fyter Fest 1 and Fyter Fest 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, could probably do big numbers those nights.
Yeah.
Brian Cage versus Sean Dean.
Has there ever been a more indie name, or a jobber name, than Sean Dean?
It's pretty indie.
That's the second match in an indie show. Sean Dean.
So, Cage won in quick fashion with the drill claw. Taz cut a ceiling promo. He took exception to Moxley laughing at Cage challenging him, and he hit him with the beat him if you can, survive if he lets you line again. And I just have one question for you. Who is going to stop the path of Cage? Probably Moxley, if we're being
Moxley,
honest.
Yeah.
Probably Moxley.
I mean, it's a bad decision to take it off Moxley in Cage's first title match, but can I say something so complimental? complimentary.
Please.
And insulting at the same time.
No, just did the go ahead.
But no, it's the same thing. You'll understand when I say it. Thank God for squash matches.
Yeah.
This did not need to be anything else than it was. It was perfectly fine.
It's the second week in a row occasion to squash match.
Excellent.
Cage was dominant in the ladder match, and he's had two squashes since. If you're going to build up a guy, this is the way to do it.
He looks like a monster here.
Up next, I'm just thinking about the text that you sent me when you said AEW said they had a great card. The first thing they showed was Colt Cabana versus Chris Jericho. And I like both these guys, so I felt bad for laughing at that, but just the way you said it was funny. So we do have Colt Cabana versus Chris Jericho. So Jericho had control for most of the match, but Cabana made a comeback, hit him with a bionic elbow and a second rope splash, which got him a near fall. Then the fucking coolest counter I've ever seen happened. Colt went for the Superman pin, but Jericho countered it into the walls of Jericho. Cabana was able to get to the ropes, but he walked right into a Judas effect. I loved the finish. I actually liked this match.
I did too. I made the joke because Colt Cabana is really easy to make fun of. But like everybody, I don't think anybody hates him. Kind of thing.
I think Punk does now.
Well, Punk's a bitch sometimes. Am I wrong there?
Yeah.
I mean, they had their own personal battles. But wrestling fans, Colt Cabana is kind of like the godfather of the comedy wrestling. But it's so gone far behind him now that it's refreshing to see him. I like Colt. I used to listen to his podcast all the time. Nice to see him getting a chance. But just the fact he wrestled on television is funny to me. Good for him, though. Good match. That finish was great.
So Jericho, after the match, he calls out Tyson. He says he wants the baddest man on the planet to come to the ring right now. Then Orange Cassidy came out, and I'm not going to lie, I popped.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Like, if you have Orange Cassidy in your company, this is what you got to do with
it. Yeah, if you're going to use him like that.
So Cassidy rolls in the ring. He puts Jericho's hands in his pockets for him. Jericho then sicks the inner circle on him, but Orange Cassidy evades the inner circle, and he hops the rail and joins the best friends as they stare down with the rest of the inner circle. I guess we're going to get an Orange Cassidy-Chris Jericho match at some point.
Probably next week.
Big Swole versus Nyla Rose. Big fan of both these women. I know I gave Big Swole some shit for the whole Archer situation.
That was her fault, though.
But I still like her as a talent a lot. It's good to see her back. Nyla Rose's first match since losing the title to Sheeta at Double or Nothing. So this was a competitive match. Swole had the advantage early, but Rose dropped her on the ring apron. Hardest part of the ring, I don't know if you know.
They go into the break.
They cut to Britt Baker, who is on a like a John Deere, like I get one of the carts they'd use to cart away an injured player in the NFL. But there's a big sign on it that says Rolls Royce, and that's R-O-L-E'S. Britt Baker's roll puns are my favorite part of AEW.
I love Britt Baker. Cannot say enough good things about the progress she's made as a character and as a wrestler this year.
It's amazing what a heel turn can do for you. Look what it did for Rock in 97, and look what it's doing for Britt Baker in 2020.
Gargano.
Well, Gargano was fine.
But it got old for a lot of people.
That's true. Yeah, I guess.
Britt Baker, I didn't think was very good a year ago.
Yeah, I think she's outstanding now. We had some choice words.
I just don't think she's bad. I think she's green.
Yeah.
She's not the best wrestler.
95% of this woman's division's green. Yeah.
But I just think her stuff she's been doing with the role model segments, how she treats her assistant, is just fucking outstanding.
So Nyla Rose hit a spear, a beast bomb, but that beast bomb was countered into a sunset flip. Swollen for Dirty Dancing, but Nyla hit a sit-out spine buster for the pin. And then after the match, Swole and Britt Baker went at it. First, Britt told Rebel, who she calls Reba, to back up the Rolls Royce right up to the barricade. But then Big Swole grabbed a chair and swung it at her. So she told Reba to drive forward.
Good shit.
But that wasn't even the best thing with Britt Baker on the show, because we then had a video package of her rehabbing. And I don't know how to describe this, but it was fucking fantastic shit. It was like...
It was wild.
It was like her cheating the rehab exercises and just like being such a fucking prick in the best way possible. It was awesome.
It was good. Like I said, I have nothing but good things to say about her.
Yeah. Big fan of Nyla Rose. Big fan of Big Swole. Big fan of Britt Baker. Excited to see where this goes. Up next, Tony Schiavone sits down with FTR.
The best segment on the show, my personal opinion.
Schiavone asks them what FTR means. They say it has many meanings. They put over all the teams in AEW, except they take a page out of the Mike Harding playbook and give the champions a quite backhanded compliment, saying like they're not a real team. But I don't mind fake teams. But they were avoiding the Young Bucks. And then they said they don't want to have match of the year with them. They want to punch them in the face and beat them in 3 seconds. Jim Cornette probably had an aneurysm that they said they want to work with them because Jim Cornette hates when people say work. But fuck Jim Cornette, so who cares? And then the Butcher and the Blade come down these steps. FTR says what happened last week was just business, but they can settle this business in the ring next week. And the two try to brawl, but they get into a pull apart. And I enjoyed this. In one segment, they let FTR talk more than I think they did in their entire WWE run. And both those guys could talk.
So. Oh, yeah. In the most old-fashioned, wonderful way possible.
Yeah. But this segment introduced them to the AEW fans. I thought it was quite a good segment. And
now, when you're booking them, do you book them in competitive matches? Or, and I'm not going to say squash matches or quick matches, but a lot of offense.
I mean, I think if you tout having the best tag division in the world, and then FTR, a team like fresh off of WWE, just comes in and beats all your teams like in 2 minutes, it's probably not the best idea. So I'd expect them to have a 12 to 15 minute match with Butcher and the Blade next week, but I obviously expect them to win.
Yes.
The main event of the evening.
Nope, we got to have one more thing. Sean Spears' glove.
Do we have to?
Yes. Is it? I just to dance on some graves here.
Okay, so they show the awesome promo that Tully cut on Sean Spears on social media. But Tully says he has a new idea for Sean Spears. When he hands him a fingerless glove, I believe it's supposed to be a coal miner's glove.
Or like the gloves Lesnar wears for punching.
Well, yeah, but they're not like MMA gloves. They're like the gloves the Blackjacks wore, like Blackjack Bradshaw.
Yeah.
They're like Southern Rass.
Bare knuckle buff.
They're like the Fiend Hurt Heel gloves.
Yes.
Except without the corny sayings.
The ones you could text with in the winter when it's cold.
The fingerless glove, yeah.
Yeah. How many gimmicks are we going to give this fucking guy?
10.
He's not even the best 10 in the company.
It's my line, bud.
It is, but you didn't say it. But I think we're finally realizing he's fucking MCFW, mid-card for life.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, but people wanted him to be every champion when he got released in the WWE.
People want everyone to be every champion when they get released.
People want EC3 to beat Okada, and then beat Okada and Naito in the same night and become a double champ. I don't get that either.
I mean, he'd only need to beat Naito. He has both belts. He wouldn't have to beat Okada.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess. You know what I meant. But I just, he's a mid-carder for life. Nothing wrong with that. Everybody needs a mid-carder.
All right. I don't really have anything to say about this segment.
And Tully, you're getting wasted on him.
Yeah.
Tully cut one of the best promos in the history of that company. The
promo was awesome.
That promo was fantastic. And Tully wasn't exactly the talker, the Horseman, was he?
I mean, he could cut a promo, no, but no, obviously he wasn't the, we all know who the talker of the Horseman was.
Yeah, I guess that's true. He's the best talker of all time.
Yeah. All right, so now main event time. I'm glad we fucking took 5 minutes every day to talk about Sean Spears.
I will always take time out of my day to discuss Sean Spears' mediocrity.
Cody versus Jungle Boy for the TNT Championship. Cody worked heel here. It was interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Jungle Boy is not going to work heel, but
yeah,
it was interesting. Like, Cody kind of worked real heel here. He was super aggressive. He brought the table into play. He did juice. I mean, shocker, Cody juices a big match.
Cody juices? Holy shit.
So MJF is, and they cut to a shot of MJF yapping with Jungle Boy so Cody could go and Blade. And not Butcher, just Blade.
I mean, Eddie Guerrero butchered once or twice.
That's true. And then Jungle Boy kind of started working heel because he was going right at that cut at Cody's forehead. But Cody hit a pump kick. Jungle Boy hit a clothesline and then got a near fall off of that. Delayed superplex from Cody. And then Cody was going to use his weightlifting belt, but he didn't. Instead, he grabbed the table at ringside. He went up to the top rope and they both kind of tumbled to the table. I don't know who put who through the table. They just They just both kind of tumbled through it. But Jungle Boy got a near fall off of it, so I guess he's the one. I guess Cody is the one who's supposed to take the brunt of the bump. But Cody came back, hit a crossroads and win. And then after the match, Brandy, Dustin, and Jurassic Express all check on each other. And happily ever after. That was AEW.
Great way to end it.
They announced that next week, Mark Quinn will face Cody in the open challenge.
I'm interested about this.
I'm super interested.
Because I think it could be good, but I just don't see those two styles mixing.
Supposedly, it's supposed to be Phoenix, but he will not be recovered in time to have the match.
Yeah, he did this Phoenix splat.
You were waiting to say that.
I did. I was.
But yeah, that was AEW. So let's move on to WWE NXT. The final episode, the go-home show, so to speak, for TakeOver In Your House. This match was kind of video package heavy, but we can talk about those video packages because they're both very good. But the opener.
And there's something else we talk about. We have to talk about a backstage segment, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we absolutely have to talk about a backstage
segment. I know exactly what you're talking about. We will.
And I usually hate goofiness, but
I don't think this was goofy.
No, it wasn't. I think it adds to the character.
Yeah, there's more layers. There's layers. There's levels to this shit.
But I just think they just took advantage of a real life talent. We'll get there. I just can't wait to talk about it. I'm so excited.
The opener, Candice LeRae versus Mia Yim. So this match kind of broke down after Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, Shotzi Blackheart, Gargano, and Keith Lee all got involved. Big old clusterfuck here.
Go home. A go home special.
Yeah. So then William Regal turns it into a mixed tag match. Johnny Gargano astutely points out, I'm not even in my ring gear.
What's better, him saying that or
him? Nothing will top him thinking it was Adrian Adonis. That was my favorite thing heel Johnny has done. He thought Adrian Adonis was going to rise from the dead. The
spirit of Adrian Adonis was going to come out.
Thought Adrian Adonis was going to roll down to the ring in 2020 and beat his ass. But thank you. Thankfully, it was not Adrian Adonis. So they restart the match as a mixed tag. Then Gargano gouged Keith Lee's eye with a car key. And then he looked at the camera and said, this is my key to victory. I laughed.
Johnny Gargano, heel Gargano, I apologize for ever questioning it.
Yeah.
He is fucking great. He's not going to be the badass heel. He's not going to be the chicken shit heel because he was so built up as Mr. Fucking Bravery for 3 years, and now he's doing this. I don't know what category he falls in, but he's excellent.
He's like, because babyface Gargano was always like kind of corny. He just turned the corniness up to 25. And then Keith Lee's like hand was draped in the steps, and then Gargano kicked the steps.
And I saw that, and it changed my prediction for Sunday.
Gargano has to win this match. You can't, him losing, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but him losing would like just cut the brakes off this heel turn.
And then Keith Lee will go to Raw with Dijakovic.
No. No, he will not. Stop it.
Unless he gets into the...
Yeah, we probably should talk about that in the news. What do you think about Dijakovic reportedly heading to Raw?
He will do big things there.
Think Heyman's salivating over him?
I think Heyman's thrilled the right form, and Vince is just mouth agape.
Yeah, Vince, like, why didn't you tell me you had this guy before?
Yeah, he has no idea who he is. He thought it was Nikita Koloff.
But anyway, yeah, so now Keith Lee has a bad eye and a bad hand going into the match on Sunday. And I like this. It's a nice little piece of business.
Yeah, it's a great go-home segment.
Especially knowing what they do with the women, it makes sense why we didn't get a clean finish with Candice and Mia Yim.
Yeah.
So they announced that at TakeOver In Your House, it'll be Mia Yim, Tegan Knox, and Shotzi Blackheart taking on Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai, and Candice LeRae in a six-woman tag team match. Up next, Isaiah Swerve Scott taking on Swerve's House.
Thank you.
Taking on Tony Nese. Before this was the Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream video package.
Yes,
quickly, and the Loomis okay. Backstage segment.
We'll get there first. I believe Loomis came first.
Loomis came first. Yes, I think the start of Loomis happened, then the Cole video package, then the finale.
Yeah, because he was finished.
Yes.
So, who was the back? Kyla Braxton?
Yes.
So Kayla Braxton. She was interviewing and somebody.
She asked a dumb question.
No,
she's interviewing Loomis and she asked him some goofy question.
So he slides off screen and then slowly brought on an easel with some fucking watercolors and just started the paint. Already in for me. And he's a tortured artist and I love it. That doesn't work for everybody, but I think for how fucking terrifying he is, it works. So then we went into a great video package.
I said it on Twitter, but like Prime Target Takeover is like one of the best things WWE does.
Did they do one for this?
That's what this was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what this was.
Okay.
This and the women's match were the Prime Target Takeover special. I guess they didn't want to fill 2 hours in the go-home show and risk people getting hurt.
I get it.
I mean, they saw what happened in AEW, almost lost like 3 matches on their go-home show, so it makes sense. But yeah, first up was the Velveteen Dream and Adam Cole video package. The first thing I noticed was Adam Cole's awesome suit. The second thing I noticed was it was nice to see Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh, it's wonderful to see Kyle O'Reilly.
Obviously, he can't be there due to his medical condition, but I'm glad they got him involved in this skit. And
so he's the personality of the era.
Oh, yeah.
He's phenomenal.
Dude, like, it's so weird because the Undisputed Era are portrayed as, like, such dorks.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they are. I think that's...
But they're, like, the most dominating force
in history. But I think all of them together are, like, mega dork.
And super dark,
yeah, and because they're just nerds, they're marks dark for themselves, man. They're just marks for themselves, and it's unbelievable.
Like in the limo, they're like yeah, and
they can be wrapped up in one thing is when Aleister Black got attacked, and then the video they jump in the Corvette or they jump in the Mustang, Adam Cole's driving, Roddy's in the back, and their fucking music's playing.
The like, music was playing. That was awesome.
They are phenomenal. Adam Cole's not going anywhere, no matter what anybody says.
He must be on Raw or SmackDown.
He's an idiot if he does, and I will say that to him.
Why?
If
Tony Khan pulled out a bag, you wouldn't take it? I'd take it.
I mean, for position and company.
Who cares?
If he cares...
Listen, if you could work with your girlfriend and get a bag...
No, holy shit. No. I think... That's not the reason. If people say his status in the company, his status on the card will be better there than it is there. That's what the idiocy is.
It depends. On Raw or SmackDown, maybe they'd have the argument, but obviously he's a fucking top dog in NXT.
Yeah, but we won't know that until he gets up there.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that'll be sooner than later.
But with the Buckaroos being his best friends, I'm pretty sure he'd have a really good spot in AEW.
Yeah, but does anybody have a really good spot in AEW other than Cody, singles-wise?
I mean, Moxley and Jericho have been consistently main eventing everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the pattern you're gonna point out, but...
No. But that's not even going there. But, yeah, other than the two top guys, has anybody had specifically success in... notable success in singles in that company?
I mean, they're fucking, like, year old. I think we have to give them a little more time.
Yeah, different question. But I love this, and then it cuts to Dream, who I feel very bad for. This was supposed to be his moment.
No, it wasn't.
In front of that. Or it was supposed to run a Mania weekend.
I don't know if he's going to... Well, I guess he wouldn't have got called up if this whole pandemic didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because I guess that's the reason they're calling people up, because other people are stuck. Someone has to fill Bob Roode's shoes.
Yeah. I just think...
I didn't even get a pop from that one.
I'm not even going there. But Dream looking into the mirror and Prince popping up.
No, hey, Prince lookalike.
Well, yeah, Prince is dead, dude. I know, like, it's not going to be him.
No shit.
He did look like Prince, though.
Mildly.
I just wish it was Dave Chappelle as Prince.
That would have been a major coup.
It was just...
We should also mention they had Sam Roberts, Peter Rosenberg, and Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee. Which I thought this package was excellent. I thought it was good fucking shit.
Say what we want about the World Wrestling Federation, but like their packages...
They've never had a bad video package.
They're incredible.
Even the one for the worst main event in WrestleMania history was fantastic.
I'm trying to think if there are any video packages at Backlash, because that was the worst show ever, and I'm sure those packages are even good.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, the Miz Hate Me Now one is fantastic.
Oh, great. It's a great video package.
All right. So we come back to Kyle Braxton, and not only is Dexter Lumis a painter, he paints caricatures.
Yeah.
Which is...
And this is a shoot.
Fucking perfect.
This is a shoot. If you go on his Twitter, he's like... He'll draw random shit. Like, he drew, like, Roman Reigns the one day. Yeah. Like, he just draws random stuff.
Does it add to his character?
Yeah.
I think it's kidding me? I don't think it's goofy. I don't think it's hokey. I think it's... I think him kicking all the ass... I think it's all part of... He's a tortured artist.
I don't think Dexter Lumis could do anything to hurt the character.
No, I just think he's
great. If Dexter Lumis came out holding balloons, I think it was like the creepiest thing ever.
He popped up later too, which was excellent.
He's always looming.
He's just fantastic. I would like to see him. If Gargano wins on Sunday, I would like to see him get into that conversation.
I just want to, like...
Is he a babyface, a heel? I don't know. I still have to think he's fucking kidnapping people. I don't...
He's responsible for the masked luchadors kidnapping people.
I just think there's a lot of potential with that character, both babyface and heel, and I can't wait for it.
I hope we find out... I'm assuming we're going to find out his motives for going after the era eventually. I hope we do. Because, like, I want to know what motivates the character of Dexter Lumis. Like, did Roddy Strong, like, kill him in a past life or something? Like, what is his deal with the Undisputed Era?
I can't wait, because he drew them in a car, and he was driving the car.
Yeah, and they had a very distraught look on their faces.
That's just good shit. I'm sorry. That's real good shit.
So we have Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Tony Nese. Now, we get back to where we were. This is a plea. Please do something with Isaiah Swerve Scott. We haven't even scratched the surface on his potential. This guy is so fucking good.
He's Velveteen Dream, but cooler.
Yeah, I guess.
We were blessed to see him live. Was that the only time you ever saw him live?
No, I saw him at
WrestleCon the year before. And I don't think they've done bad with him. They just haven't done anything with him yet. If that makes any sense.
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
I think they kept his character.
Yeah, I'm glad they let him keep the name Swerve. They wouldn't pay for Shaka Khan though. That's a disappointment.
No, that is a disappointment. But I don't think his music's all that bad.
Scott got the win when he reversed a guillotine choke into a sunset flip, and Jack Gallagher tried to distract him at the end, but it did not pay off. So they're building up the story. Scott was making fun of Gallagher and Nese for their records in the Cruiserweight tournament. So they got a little mini story going on here.
And Nese, we all know how good Nese is, so he can lose.
Up next, the Undisputed Era versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus a mystery team, with the winners going on to face the Imperium at TakeOver In Your House. And the mystery team turned out to be the return of Space Cadet Dango and Space Cadet Breezango. I like this match, like you said. Dexter Lumis is looming in the crowd in this one, which is always...
He didn't cut to him, but he was just in the crowd. Didn't blink, and was just staring at the air.
That always adds 5 stars to any match, and Dexter Lumis is looming. Fandango eventually got the dub with the Last Dance leg drop, and it's going to be Breezango taking on Imperium, which is kind of a surprise, because it seems like they were building towards Lorcan and Birch against Imperium, which would have been a banger. This will still be a real fun match, but... What do you make of Breezango sneaking in there and getting the dub?
Nice to see a team, a new team up in there. As much as Era and Imperium, they could always use new teams. And I'm a big fan of both Dango and Breeze. And they bring a little light, a little different. All the tag teams there are the same. They're just ass kickers. They bring the comedy. Not comedy, but they bring the lighter side of it. And they're both fantastic wrestlers. Their entrance was definitely something. But, I'm happy for it. I think Imperium versus that will kick ass. Is that Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Imperium versus Breezango will kick ass.
Aaliyah taking on Santana Garrett. The whole story of this match was Robert Stone was scouting scouting Aaliyah because Chelsea kicked him to the curb. And Aaliyah got distracted trying to impress Robert Stone. And Santana Garrett hit a back handspring moonsault for the victory. Santana Garrett was another one of those girls they signed that I was, like, shocked they haven't done more with. Maybe this is the start of it. Maybe. Who knows?
It's the crowded division.
Yeah. So, I don't know. This kind of was what it was. I guess Chelsea's getting called up, and that's why they took Robert Stone away from her.
Well, that would make sense.
But, I don't know what you do with Robert Stone from here, because, like, her and Chelsea were great together. And I also think, like, if you're going to be the Robert Stone brand, you have to have more than one client.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of brands and clients, we should mention that Malcolm's boys showed up at the end of the tag team match. Good to see Malcolm back, but I don't know why they came out and
Teflon Stoke.
So yeah, up next it's Grime time. Cameron Grimes taking on Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed, the big thick boy, was trying to impress us. Grimes hit the cave in to get the victory over Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed hit a bionic elbow.
Yeah, he did. And then Karrion Kross came in and destroyed Bronson Reed with a doomsday Saito.
He looks like he kills people when he does that.
Cameron Grimes is another guy. Like, can we do something to this fucking guy? I know he beat Finn Balor a couple weeks ago. He beat Bronson Reed here. But, like, he's another guy where they're so start and stop with him. Like, the first couple weeks of, like, NXT on USA when it first moved, Cameron Grimes, like, this unfucking beatable force. Then he just lost to Keith Lee and disappeared for months. And now he's back. He fucking beat Finn Balor. He beat Bronson Reed. Hopefully it's the start of something for him.
Hopefully. I enjoy him too.
Of course, it was nice to see Cross come in, send one last message to Ciampa for their match on Sunday. Hey, Ciampa was nowhere to be seen
Cross on the show. Cross had a great month.
Yes.
That's as good as a first month as you can have in NXT.
So now the women's Prime Target takeover. I also love this video package. I thought when Charlotte said, "They chant at me, you don't go here, bitch, I built this." I thought that was a great line.
It was.
Io and Rhea were both put over very heavily in this video package. I hope Sunday is the end of the Charlotte Flair experiment in NXT. We'll see. I'll make my official prediction on if it is or not. Keyword is, I said I hope it is. I never said I think it will be. But I hope Sunday is the end of the Charlotte Flair experiment in NXT. Because I love Charlotte. I think she's great. But I think it's been proven that she's not a ratings draw that they thought she'd be.
No.
So,
and she's the best. Women's wrestler of all time.
Get her off NXT. This division's crowded enough. Put her on either EO or give Rhea her win back. I really don't care which one. And let this NXT women's division shine. And let Charlotte go shine on Raw, because she can. So now, main event time. El Hijo de Fantasma taking on Drake Maverick in the finals of the Interim Cruiserweight Championship Tournament. The final 20 minutes of the show was dedicated to this match. That was a shock. A pleasant surprise, because we both love Purple Robes forever. I will say Drake Maverick selling kicks all the ass in the world. So Phantasma would be in control most of the match, but then Maverick would mount a comeback.
Holy fire.
Then Phantasma would get back in control, and Maverick would hit a hope spot out of nowhere. Then eventually the finish came when Phantasma was knocked out of the ring. It looked like Maverick had a chance to win via countout. But then the masked luchadors came down. And Drake Maverick, I guess he feared that they would hit Phantasma for the DQ. So he suicide dove onto them and took them out. Then he rolled back in the ring, got caught with a super kick, and the Phantasma driver. And Phantasma is the new interim Cruiserweight champion.
Hell of a match. Right person won the tournament.
So Phantasma celebrates. Drake Maverick gets a round of applause. He's milking it. He's taking the reaction in. He's at the top of the ramp when out comes Papa Hunter. He gives him an NXT contract. Maverick signs it on the air. I doubt that was the shoot contract. The shoot contract was probably signed for a while, but
we don't know.
Well, we know that he had to know that he was being signed before this.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. It could have been the day before, though. You don't know. I don't know.
They had to time this, right? So they got everything on air because they had a hard out at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's obvious this wasn't like
an organic. They weren't offering the contract on there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And I'm assuming we have a lot to talk about with this. But I think that.
So let's start with the tournament and the match in general. What did you think of the tournament? What did you think of the result?
Tournament kicked ass.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Not to mention you have this Drake storyline in there.
Yeah, I think the Drake storyline, like, I'm not saying don't take this the way that I think some people will take it, but Drake getting fired made this tournament so much more interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he should have been fired. Like, please don't take it that way. I'm just saying, like, the added dimension of Drake legitimately fighting for his career made this tournament, like, worth more than a title, if that makes sense. So I really enjoyed it.
And he picked up two awesome wins.
Yeah.
The win in the triple threat was awesome. Love the finish. I love this finish against Kushida too.
Yeah. And he got a clean one over Nice, so it was kinda the best of everything again, in terms of Drake Maverick. And he lost clean to Atlas, so.
But my question is, why can't they do this at wrestlers when they're not on their way out?
Because they don't care. Like, WWE hoards wrestlers, like, they want you there so you're not making money for anyone else. And part of me hates it. Part of me says, well, that's business. And, like, as long as the guys are making a good living and they're happy, then cool. Like, no one puts a gun to their head and makes them sign these contracts. but maybe there are some false promises in there when they do sign at times. So, like, who knows? But
so, ready to talk about it?
Yeah, let's get into it. I've said for weeks I don't know how I feel, and I've come to the conclusion that I kind of hate it.
I kind of don't know how to feel. I kind of don't. I don't hate it because, like, people are like, oh, this was all planned from the start, which I don't believe. Not at all. I don't think Vince McMahon's like, oh, should we cut, pal? Drake Maverick, he's on the Cruiserweight show, sir. We have a Cruiserweight show? All right, he's in the company's next biggest babyface. I don't think that happened.
No, but
I think Shoot got fired. I mean, I think they plan on bringing everybody back.
I agree with you, but I disagree with you. I don't think this was planned from the beginning, but I think this was planned from the second he put up that video, which is like an hour after he got fired.
I think it was even after that.
I don't know, dude. The second he put up that video, I'm like,
I think it goes into the tournament because he was announced for the tournament before. I think, and then I think
he was announced for the tournament before he got fired, and he was probably gonna go 0-3 in that tournament and do nothing if he didn't get fired.
But I don't know how to feel. I don't know all the facts, so I refuse to make an opinion.
Well,
like, they could have hired him. They could have hired him the day before Wednesday or the day before they taped it, and I wouldn't. And that's different to me because, like I said from the beginning, I think they said, "Hey, kid, sit tight. Your job's here. We just got to cut you for a little bit." But I don't know. But I'm not another wrestler that got canned, so I can't have a proper opinion.
Well, so another wrestler that did get canned have an opinion.
I'm not a wrestler of credibility that got canned.
And that was a certain Moth, the man of the hour, Lio Rush. He was very upset by this. He found it disrespectful. And, like, that's kind of what I was afraid of, because
do them if they do, then they didn't.
We talked about this off air. If this was just, like, a normal routine spring cleaning where, like, the wrestling business was healthy and like, but outside of Ring of Honor, Impact, AEW, and WWE, and New Japan, but I'm just talking about America right now, we don't know what the wrestling scene is going to look like when shit comes down to normal. So this is, like, a very bad time to get fired, because we don't know how many indies survived the pandemic. We don't know how many indies went out of business. We obviously know Ring of Honor, Impact, WWE, AEW, they're all fine. But those four companies could only house so many bodies. So odds are, you know, I hate to single anyone out, but, like, where's No Way Jose going to work?
Yeah, exactly. Where's Rowan going to work?
Yeah, where's the Vintner going to work? Is he going to have to go back to the winery? But
I think he goes to Impact, but
like, that's my deal. Like, the fact that these were pandemic cuts kind of, like, rubs me the wrong way that they turned this into a whole storyline. But like we said with the Jeff Hardy thing, like, Carney is kind of the nature of wrestling. Like, we all got worked, and that's kind of how it's supposed to go. But that doesn't mean I have to like it. I hated it. I didn't think it was right. Now, when I say I hated it, I love it for Drake. I'm super happy for him. From that video he put out, you could tell that he was one of the guys who were like, WWE was his dream, and it's where he wanted to work. It was the ultimate goal, and he accomplished it. He had it taken away from him, and through his passion and hard work, he got it back. He probably got it back for a lot less money, if you believe the Wrestling Observer report that WWE offered a handful of guys their jobs back at a greatly reduced rate, a lot less than what they were making. I don't know what to make of that. That kind of brings me back to the stockpiling thing. That seems like they're trying to.
But I feel like they were paying Heath Slater too much money the way it is. No, and I'm not. That's not for me to decide. I'm happy Heath got paid. I like Heath, but
that's also their fault. I doubt Heath came in and said, "Hey, give me this much." But also, you can't expect Heath to re-sign for a pennies on the dollar of what you were paying him before.
No, you can't. No,
because if anything, his value has increased since he was cut, based on his Instagram promos and his T-shirt sales, which are doing pretty well at Pro Wrestling Tees. So, I don't know. I personally wasn't a fan. I get that you probably feel differently, but hey, that's why this show is great. We could have different opinions.
We are controversial at times. Not controversial, contesting at times.
Contrarians.
Contrarians, that's the word I'm looking for. So who do you got, MVPs and winner?
NXT MVP has to be Drake Maverick. I don't know, you can pick anyone else. AEW MVP, I am going to go with Cody and Jungle Boy. I really like that main event. Overall MVP, I'm going to go with FTR. I hate to say this, I really like the Revival in WWE, but they made more of an impact in one night in AEW than they pretty much did in their entire main roster run. And for show-wise, I am going to go AEW by the slimmest of margins, by a single pubic hair. AEW, the better show.
That's fair. My AEW MVP is definitely not Sean Spears. It's Shivani FTR. Shivani and FTR, because I thought that segment was excellent. My NXT MVP is Dexter Lumis.
Ooh.
Because I'm all about... this is 3 weeks in a row. I'm all about Dexter Lumis. My overall MVP is Maverick. Just outstanding stuff. And I'm going to go NXT for the better show, because I think their go-home show was better than AEW's go-home show.
That's not fair. They're on different weeks. I don't think you could... That's like me saying the go-home show to Money in the Bank was better than the go-home show to Royal Rumble.
Well, the go-home show, I liked the two
long... You could still like NXT better, but I think your reason's bullshit.
I do like NXT better, because I liked the two video packages.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think you compare it to a show that was weeks ago.
I thought there was much less filler than a lot of things.
Well, those two video packages are literally the definition of filler. But they served a purpose, but they were still filler.
They weren't filler for the sake of filler. They were filler with a purpose. They didn't throw just two fucking geeks out there and have them wrestle. Not that I'm saying AEW does,
did AEW do that?
No. But I'm going to go by the NXT by the slimmest of margins. I enjoyed, though. They seem to be on the bounce back here.
That is the war report. Coming up next, we will address the controversy in the Mean Guy Classic and also tell you who is moving on to. What did we go with for the 8? Did we come up with anything yet?
Not yet.
I picked Hateful Eight, but you hate it because you hate Tarantino.
The Hateful Eight.
All right, the Hateful Eight. We will tell everybody who is in the Hateful Eight next, and we will update everyone on the controversy that is currently going on with a certain one seed and a certain man who claims to be limitless. It's the Mean Guy Classic number 2. Bigger.
Badder.
Meaner. But nobody's meaner than Tamina.
Glad we're on the same page with that.
That's how Taz would say her name. That's why it's so upsetting he's not there. Cole, let me tell you, it's Tamina.
Survive if you can. Oh, that's funny.
Survive, I let you. Beat me if you can.
Do you know we just thought of that 2 weeks ago?
That's what I've heard.
At the instruction of Tony Khan?
What's ECW? Never heard of it. Is that thing where Kevin Thorne was?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right, but and let's Mr. get... Kennedy. I don't think he was ever on ECW.
I don't think he was either, but...
Marcus Corvan, baby. The Bouncer!
Big Show was there for a little bit.
Big Show was ECW champion.
So was Vince McMahon.
That's that do-rag wearing Vince McMahon. You want to talk about inappropriate... Do-rag Vince... Can you imagine what do-rag Vince McMahon was going around right now?
No.
But anyway, let's get into the Mean Guy Classic.
So we had several blowouts this week to get to the Hateful Eight from the Mean 16, and one we are going to have to talk about. So...
Several blowouts and one exact opposite of a blowout.
Yes. So, in the Mean 16 of the Lariat region... 4-seed Andre the Giant defeated 8-seed Bam Bam Bigelow by a percentage score of 62-38. And the run for the greatest of all time ends. And Florida Gulf Coast is back because Cactus Jack defeated Kane by a percentage point of 55-45.
Bang, bang.
So now we have a final between Cactus Jack and Andre the Giant in the Lariat region.
You know what my dream is? I need Mike Breen to call a Cactus Jack match.
Wow. Do you think you would add the second bang?
You'd have to. That's homage right there.
It would be. So the 5-seed Undertaker defeated the 1-seed Vader. A 1-seed goes down.
So, quick question. Now does this region get renamed the Tombstone region?
It does not. It's still the Lariat region. And by a percentage score of 67-33, no love for the original Mean Guy, the Mastodon himself.
You're a mean guy, Mr. Vader.
And then in the other matchup in the Layer 8 region, Bruiser Brody absolutely manhandled Sid with a percentage score of 66-34.
He's Brody still kicking.
So in the bomb region, The Undertaker and Brody both did power bombs. Is the final. So of all the legends left, of the 32 legends we came up with, Andre the Giant, Cactus Jack, Taker, and Bruiser Brody are the remaining four.
Andre and Cactus could be real interesting.
It will be. It would be.
I think that 15 is going to make the final four, though. Or the fatal four, I should say.
I didn't see Andre being in there, though.
The NCAA just sued us. We just lost all of our money.
All of the money we made doing this, which is...
Although WWF had a pay-per-view called In Your House Final Four. I don't know how they got away with that.
But I don't think it was... I don't think the NCAA tournament was...
They didn't have it copyrighted
at the time. Copyrighted at the time. But
WWF would have made millions if they kept that copyright.
Moving on to the current region. The absolute juggernaut of Kevin Owens absolutely killed Lance Archer, which shows up to Everybody Dies because he's now gone. He won 74-26. Our biggest gap of this round. Owens is a juggernaut.
At least it's getting closer. He was like 95-5 in people before.
Because he did
Evil Uno.
Yeah, it was Ono.
Oh no,
not Cassius or Sonny. But and now, and then the other match in the Senton region is Senton versus Senton, because Samoa Joe defeated Tomohiro Ishii by a score of 63-37 percentage wise.
A former never open weight champion lost to a Raw commentator. Let that sink in.
WWE is king. Okay, we'll go down to the bottom first, where Minoru Suzuki defeated Pierre Caro Ulle, also known as PCO, by a score of 72-28. And kind of saw that coming. We built this tournament last year around Suzuki and Walter.
Well, they collide
No, they don't yet, depending on...
Well, Walter's either out or they're colliding.
So we have a 50-50 discrepancy with an odd number of votes.
Second time in three, 113 votes, yet we have 50. I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
They probably round up. Like,
it's a one vote difference.
Yeah.
And we don't know who has the one vote. So we're here to talk about who moves on to the Hateful Eight, either Keith Lee or Walter.
Well, our first tiebreaker has been never open weight champion, and neither of these men have held the title. I don't know how you want to do this.
My vote is Walter.
That'd be my vote too, but like, are we just straight voting? Is that what we're doing?
Is meaner than anything Keith Lee does.
Plus, he was the one seed. Like, I feel like...
He was the one seed, and we built this tournament around him last year.
Yeah, and then Kevin Owens had to show up.
Yeah.
I love Kevin Owens, though.
I'm pretty much going Walter.
If we're voting, I'm voting for Walter.
We have a testimonial from a person on Twitter, which I would like you to read there at right now, because my phone's over there. But
I wish you would have kayfabed me and, like, let me know a little sooner.
Yeah, so I just thought of it. I'm sorry. But he added a testimonial to in Walter's case as well.
At OG Chunky Boy.
Not my burner.
And the man's username, like that's his at, but his username is White Bread Brad White.
Wow. That's an indie name. But okay, now
he is training to be a pro wrestler.
What did he say?
He said, as someone who has had their hair blown backwards from being in the vicinity of a Walter chop, I call bullshit on this.
It's got to be Walter then, right?
That's a pretty solid defense.
Endorsement.
And Keith Lee is always smiling. Like, yes. Can a mean guy always
He doesn't have a mean guy voice.
Or a mean guy anything.
Or a theme song.
I don't know. Bask in your glory. Carol, bask in your glory. That's...
Doesn't beat the Vorax New World Sympathy.
Number 12.
Act. Number 9.
Was it number 9?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, the Hateful Eight is decided. Andre the Giant versus Cactus Jack. Who do you got?
Who would I go with, or who do I think is going to win?
Who do you think is going to win?
Cactus.
I think Andre's going to win, and that's who I'd like to see out of the mean guy there anyway. Undertaker and Bruiser Brody. The famous lost WCW match from 1989.
I'm probably thinking Taker's going to take it.
Me too. Owens and Joe. Owens, he's a juggernaut.
Yeah, why are you asking me?
Walter and Suzuki.
I think... Oh, Well, what was Suzuki's margin that he won by?
72-28.
Yeah, he blew out PCO, so I think he's going to barely squeak by Walter.
I think it's possible, but I think Walter sneaks in.
I mean, Walter struggled with Keith Lee, and nothing against Keith Lee, but...
Yeah. But Keith Lee's just hotter right now.
Keith Lee is... Yeah, Walter's stuck in Austria. There's not much he could do.
Yeah. It's just a poor time to be a wrestler at the moment. But, so, I think our final four is going to be Andre, Taker, Kevin Owens, and Walter. Who do you think? You think Cactus, Taker, Owens, and Suzuki?
Yes.
We'll have to see. Tune in next week, and please vote.
And I have a Taker-Owens final with Kevin Owens winning by 100% of the vote.
I'm okay, man. I'm in with that. That'll happen.
Yeah, so we'll put out the polls for the Hateful Eight next week, and we'll see who gets into the Fatal Four. And then we only got like 2 weeks left in this mug. We almost done.
Yep.
So and the Fatal Four next week and the championship the week after that. So we got 2 weeks left in the second annual Mean Guy Classic 2, Bigger, Badder, Meaner. So,
yes.
But always remember, ain't nobody meaner than Tamener.
That was a chair. But
that was a shoot hoot right there.
Yeah. But I think a very successful Mean Guy Classic, and I'm sure we'll be tweeting at Kevin Owens when he wins.
Hey, he probably won't answer us.
No, he won't.
But he needs to know how prestigious this tournament was.
All right, coming up next, we will preview NXT In Your House.
So, NXT TakeOver In Your House takes place this upcoming Sunday, June the 7th. What, first of all, what do you think of these TakeOver on Sundays?
I like it. I don't care. It's a wrestling is on Sundays is a staple.
Well, I mean, every day is a weekend for you now.
So. Oh, shut up.
And no day is a weekend for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, NXT TakeOver In Your House takes place this Sunday in Full Sail University. Normally, I'd say in front of no people, but it'll be in front of a lot of plants, and I'm not talking Mitch.
Oh, my God.
So, we have six matches on the card as of this very moment. Six seems to be usually the magic number for TakeOver.
So five or six, depending
so
on.
So, I doubt we get anything else added. So, let us start a six-woman tag team match. Mia Yim, Shotzi Blackheart, and Tegan Nox take on Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez. Who you got and why?
Heels go over.
Well, I'm going babyfaces. This seems like... This screams like a match where the babyfaces will win. I got Shotzi pinning Dakota.
I have Raquel doing all the dirty work and Dakota pinning Tegan.
So let us now move on to perhaps the most interesting match on the card in terms of who's going to win. Finn Balor versus Damian Priest. So like this is weird because Finn Balor has been like super protected since coming back to NXT, but he's also done absolutely nothing. It's the weirdest thing. Like, he beat Matt Riddle, he beat Finn Balor, but other than that...
Finn Balor beat Finn Balor?
Finn Balor did beat Finn Balor, because now he's the Prince with an X instead of a C. But he also beat Johnny Gargano and turned him heel. So, but other than that, he's done absolutely nothing. It's clear that they were building him up for Walter, but then a pandemic happened, and Walter's stuck in Austria, Balor's stuck in Florida.
I still hope we get that match eventually.
I think we will take over Dublin, which is now rescheduled for October. Will travel bans be lifted by October? Who knows? But I'd assume as soon as TakeOver Dublin is allowed to happen, we'll see Balor and Walter. But let's not get distracted in the battle of Finn Balor and Damian Priest, as announced on the Pat McAfee show. Who you got and why?
Priest, because he has to.
Why? Why does he have to?
I don't know. I just don't see Priest losing. You can't kidnap somebody to lose.
Well, he didn't kidnap him. He just beat him up.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I don't know. I think Priest has to win.
I'm kind of with you.
Because he doesn't wrestle much, but I think he has to win when he
But
does.
Neither does Balor.
No, it's bizarre. We're living in a bizarre world, so I don't know. I'm going Damian Priest just to think he's
going
to win.
I'm going Damian Priest as well, but I think maybe there will be some Imperium chicanery to get that feud back on track, perhaps.
Possibly.
I don't see Balor losing clean, that's what I'll say. It'll either be a nightstick shot to the knee again.
I would say that's the way it is.
Or it'll be Imperium. I don't think Balor's taking a clean L, but I think Damian Priest is going to get his hand raised at the end of the evening.
They have never not protected Finn Balor, so it'll be fine.
So, actually, this tag title match isn't listed on the official card, but I swear it's for the show. So let's go Imperium versus Breezango. Who you got?
Imperium.
Yeah, they just won the title, so you're not taking them off them. I also have Imperium. Keith Lee, Johnny Gargano for the NXT North American Championship. We teased our pick earlier in the war report, but let's officially announce our pick and also give our rationale behind it.
I think Johnny's going to work the hand. And
not the goddamn eye.
Not the eye. But I don't know if he's going to be an eye patch. I don't know. But I think he's going to work the hand, and it's going to cost Keith Lee, and Gargano's going to sneak one. Because I'm assuming the girls might get involved, and there'll be a distraction, and I think Johnny's going to sneak one. He needs his championship back. I think Keith Lee can move up into the main event after this. And yeah, that's it. That's my rationale.
There is no eye in Johnny Gargano, but there is an eye in Keith Lee. But that being said, I am taking Johnny Gargano. I swerve you, bro, like I'm Rusev. I just think Johnny losing this match would, like, stop his heel character in his tracks. Keith Lee hasn't had the best run with this belt, but I think that's as much to blame on COVID as it is to blame on him.
Yeah, there's no one there to wow when he does shit.
Yeah, and he's just faced the same fucking people all the time. He had a fucking other triple threat match with Priest and Dijakovic. I feel like he's faced Dijakovic 25 times since he won this title. I'm not even saying it's a bad thing, because they always work great together, but I think Keith Lee will be Adam Cole's next challenger. Spoiler alert for my pick for the main event. But I think Keith Lee is dropping the North American strap to Johnny Gargano.
Same reason I'm with you.
So up next, Tommaso Ciampa versus Karrion Kross with Scarlett in a singles match.
The easiest pick in history of wrestling. Kross should manhandle him. Should absolutely destroy him.
You think it's going to be a squash?
No. But give Ciampa a little bit of offense, and I think he should just Saito him to death.
That's scary, given Ciampa has a history of neck issues.
But it does not matter to him.
That's true. I mean, he's jumped off multiple cages and gone through plenty of tables and taken some scary bumps.
I think Ciampa is the exact right person for Kross to debut against in this first actual match.
That's gonna be your gimmick when you step on the sidewalk with your Olympic sixes. You're gonna be Kross. Get
the fuck out of my house.
Kross, first of all, it's not your house.
Kross by a lot,
and I'm always in your house.
Yeah. Kross by a lot.
I'm also going with the artist formerly known as Killer. Karrion Kross. I think having him lose would be idiotic. Unless he gets like DQ'd for kicking too much ass or something. But I think even that would still suck.
Yeah.
Karrion Kross has to win. So Karrion Kross is going to win. Triple threat match for the NXT Women's Championship. Charlotte Flair defends against Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai. Who you got in Io Y?
That's bad.
Now you know you want to pick Io. Now you want to pick Io.
Rhea.
Really?
Rhea gets her win back on Charlotte.
I was going to say, does she pin Charlotte, or does she pin Io Shirai?
She pins Charlotte. She pins Charlotte, and then Ripley and Io go to a two-month program.
See, I'm going to go the other direction. Rhea is going to hit Io with the Riptide. And because this is WWE and they love this fucking finish, Charlotte is going to dump Rhea out of the ring and steal the victory. And then Rhea and Charlotte will have, like, a rubber match. And then Rhea will finally get a win back and win the title. Maybe in Boston if there's fans. We'll see how that goes. But I think Charlotte is going to retain. I hope they give up on the experiment, but I don't think they will.
No, they won't. Not a chance.
Well, you just picked Rhea, so...
But I'm not saying that they're done with the experiment. I just really think Rhea's going to win the match.
Well, you said Rhea's going to have a two-month program with Shirai.
All right, maybe I'm wrong. Move on to the main event.
Last chance backlot brawl for the NXT Championship. If Velveteen Dream loses, he can no longer challenge the NXT Championship while Adam Cole is champion. Take this as a grain of salt, but there are rumors that Velveteen Dream is SmackDown bound after this match. This match is the only match in the card that's already filmed. This is filmed last Thursday. With all of the NXT wrestlers surrounding the parking lot with their cars and their headlights on. So both men will have an equal spotlight. That was Regal's solution to Cole wanting an equal spotlight.
I mean, it makes sense.
I guess there's a lot of spotlights.
Yeah.
So who you got? Cole. So you believe the Velveteen call a pipe?
If it wasn't in the current situation, I think he'd already be the champion. But
do you believe the rumor that he diddles kids has anything to do with this?
No.
Okay.
That's pretty much shocked up as incorrect, not true at the moment.
Yeah, there hasn't been any, like, developments
about that just doesn't stop. Like, as much as Vince McMahon controls it.
I'm saying Vince might have pulled out the bag, though.
But he doesn't control Twitter. If Twitter's not stopping the President of the United States, they're not stopping Vince.
I mean, if someone gave me the bag to shut up, I would.
Yeah.
But I think Velveteen is also an innocent man.
Yeah, I just... It's just an awful thing to be accused of.
Yeah, it's no fun.
And it's also, what possesses you to pretend you're like to ruin somebody's life like that? I don't get it. But Dream will be good wherever he goes. I really wish, I think we're missing out on the Velveteen Dream champion, but the whole kind of no fans thing takes away from his aura, I think. And I believe that
Velveteen Dream on the Fox Network could be some money. Could be printing some cash there.
And then Adam Cole will debut in the night after SummerSlam.
Really?
Because I think he's losing. I think he's losing then.
I am also going Adam Cole. I don't know. I don't think Velveteen. I believe the Velveteen call up rumors, and obviously, I mean, maybe he'll win the title and still get called up. But I think the stipulation where he can't challenge for the title anymore would be the perfect excuse for him to leave NXT. Because, I mean, if you can't challenge the NXT title, you already won the North American title. What the fuck's the point of sticking around?
He was already a tag team champion, was he not?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
But he doesn't have a partner, so it's kind of hard to be tag team champion.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Although there are some people who won tag team titles by themselves.
Yep.
But I don't think Dream would be one of those guys. But anyway, I think Dream will lose to Adam Cole via maybe he'll get hit by a car. Dexter Lumis and Undisputed Era are 1,000% getting involved in this. It's going to be some bullshit.
Yeah.
Dexter Lumis is going to be like, Roddy's going to be sitting in his front seat and Lumis is just
wait a minute. Your seat. It's the car he was driving in his drawing.
Yeah, it's all connected.
He's going to kidnap them. Oh my God, I can't wait.
And he drew a car with them in it.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
I like how that just finally clicked with you at this very second. That's funny. But yeah, I'm going Adam Cole. And maybe Adam Cole's next feud will be a Dexter Lumis. Wouldn't that be something?
I think Lumis goes after Gargano.
I think Lumis is going after Roddy. He seems to be infatuated with Roddy for some reason. I don't know why.
Unless he's infatuated with Dream, who was infatuated with Ronnie.
This whole storyline is... Dream is still the worst babyface ever.
I don't know. Cody's a pretty bad one. Cody's wife was getting sodomized with a python.
That's true.
And he did not come out.
So he's a shitty baby and a shitty husband.
Yeah. And a shitty booker.
And Roddy Strong, the heel, was defending his family.
Yeah.
This wrestling business is fucked up, bud.
So that's our show for today. Come back in a minute and Tony will tell you about... We'll get us out of here with our little plugs.
Yeah, I guess I will. So stick around. So that's our show for today. We want to thank you for your continued support, as always. Make sure to go and follow everyone in the Turnbuckle Topics Network. Mondays is Top of the Rope Wrestling Radio. With Gil, you can find him at Kuda_Jr. Tuesdays and or Fridays, it's us at Champions Pod. Please follow us on Twitter if you do not already. Wednesdays, it's the Bearded Wrestling Podcast with at Bearded Chris P. He's your go-to guy for all Impact news and notes. Thursdays, it's a rundown with at Ron_Musto_Jr. and at LindsBeHonestX. And you can follow the entire network on Twitter at TT_4. The letter U. So thanks for sticking around. For everyone out there protesting, keep up the good fight. Stay safe. We love you. Take care. Till next week.